This is a HeadGum Podcast. If I were you, you'd do me, we would be each other.
Yes! Let that last note hang.
Matt.
Oh, dude, let it ring.
Matt Bogdanow. Is the guy who wrote it. Billy Scifuri is the guy who's in our studio.
Bogdanow just wailed.
Yeah.
I did.
Damn. You think he did that in a studio?
I should have Bogdanow on the podcast.
You haven't yet?
Get out of here, Billy.
just call me Billy Bogdanow for the rest of the episode.
Cool.
Did I pronounce your last name correctly? Scifuri?
Yep. Hard U. Yuri.
Scifuri.
Yep.
Scifuri.
Let's all say it together.
Scafuri.
Perfect. Thank you, Jake.
Scaffolding.
That's right.
William Scaffoldi.
You do come from a scaffolding empire, is that correct?
That's right, yeah. And whatever empire you come from, you are named for.
Yeah, yes, for example, my empire was the Blumenfeld, the, or in German, the flower field.
Wow.
Very interesting.
That sounds like a cocaine empire.
Yes, it was a cocaine empire. I was going to say I'm also a butterfly.
Why?
That's nice.
Yeah. Why would you say that? Not why are you that? Why would you say that right now? Billy, you're a comedian.
Yes.
You're also the host of the Fantasy Football Podcast on our HeadGum Network.
Two for two, I'm here.
What else have you done? How else would our fans know you? Or not know you?
I imagine that many of them don't know me. It's a big world out there. But for those who do, it's probably through Harvard Sailing Team, my sketch comedy team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been together for like 11 years. And we've kind of performed at colleges and stuff and online and all that nonsense.
One of the rare internet teams that predates Jake and me.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
How old are you guys?
I am 41.
Okay, and you?
9.
Okay, great. This is going to be a complicated question to figure out, but Harvard Sailing Team just turned 11. That's definitely old for a comedy team. Everyone breaks up after 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
About 5 years ago, we did a sketch in New York where we were an audience. We played an audience at a Melissa Etheridge concert who didn't know the words to her songs, mm-hmm. but they were still kind of into it. Mm-hmm. To celebrate Harvard Sailing Team's 11th anniversary, we're going to a Melissa Etheridge concert at Morongo this Saturday.
Wow. Wait. So whoa.
You guys all still hang out together.
Oh, we're still best friends. Yeah.
Casino Morongo?
Never been there before, but we're going to see Etheridge. We're buying the t-shirt. 9 Etheridge t-shirts clumped
Where
together.
Where is Casino Morongo?
It's like near Palm Springs, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you always drive past Morongo.
To get to Vegas.
Yeah. But we're going to go to this kind of second-rate motel to see first-rate Melissa Etheridge. We won't know her words. Just like the sketch we did.
The only one who
and also, come to my window. That real like bass voice Melissa Etheridge. Yeah, that lower octave.
Oh, that's great.
But then it's
great songs. But yeah, that's about
it. But a concert's like 25 songs.
Right, it's like going to, I think a couple years ago, I went to a Lit concert. And that's
nice.
Like fucking dope. Like My Own Worst Enemy.
Yeah.
Totally. The other one that they have.
My Own Worst Enemy.
You make me come. You know that one?
You make me complete.
Yeah, you make me completely miserable.
Yeah.
Great lyrics. But that they do only have those two songs.
Every song should do a band sharing program with other songs where they play their hits and then the hits of other like bands.
Right. Lit could have covered like
some 41.
Some 41 or
Blink 182.
Yeah.
Any band that has
no, they could not cover
end.
Blink. Blink's a, Blink's
there is but
a
one
league
Blink.
Of its own.
They're not part of the band exchange. But if like Melissa Etheridge started singing like
she's
Till the
exchange.
Sun Came. Up over.
I was gonna say Sheryl Crow too.
Yeah,
perfect.
Sure. Same thing.
Yep. Get a McLaughlin in there.
Absolutely. Lisa Loeb.
Yeah, sure. Anyone who was in Lilith Fair.
You know, one of my, I guess not really embarrassing, but I guess it was at the time. My favorite song when I was like a 12-year-old Jewish boy. Imagine me, 4'2", mushroom haircut, big glasses, yep. Bad teeth, skin fine for now. Loving the shit out of Sophie B. Hawkins, As I Lay Me Down to Sleep. No, As I Lay Me Down. Yeah.
You would like that song. I mean, you probably still like that
I
song.
Still love
your music taste
has not changed.
Your music taste has not changed. It's just, that
yeah.
is you.
But why? What do I love? Not only did I love that song, I bought the CD, which was just that song.
You bought the single.
What about
yeah,
that?
I bought a single
adjacent
CD.
To that? I grew up the same adolescent as you, and mine was, I think his name was Edward Hawkins or something. sing, but his song was, "And I'll be your shining horror."
It's somebody Edward Sharp?
Edward Sharp, yeah.
No,
is that who it is?
No, I don't know.
No, Edwin Sharp.
Edwin.
I'll be your
time of your life.
Love suicide. Me and my high school girlfriends, like, that was our song. And every time that song came on, we just, like, hold hands in the car, you know, we loved it.
Edwin McCain. John McCain's nephew.
We were in the car and that song came on. We'd been fighting and that song came on. And I just, like, slammed the radio off. And I was like, that's the coolest thing anyone's ever done.
Our song is over.
Yeah.
Everybody, if you're 18 and under, you have a song with a girl. And then you no longer have songs, right?
No, I have songs with that.
Really? You still have a song?
Yeah.
You still have songs?
I do not have songs anymore.
Yeah, I don't have songs
anymore. I was a much more fragile person sub-18, mm-hmm. where like a song would just like shoot off so many emotional fireworks. And I was just like, you know who the one person who did that to me? Adele, like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
She was just like, I was in a perfectly healthy relationship. I'm still in that same relationship. But hearing those songs, I was questioning everything. Everything.
Have you heard her new song?
Yeah.
It's really intense.
She puts you in a place that you don't need to be in a relationship. She makes you question things that aren't there.
She's probably responsible for more breakups than, I don't know,
but she's
Iwo
also
Jima?
Responsible for like getting...
I wonder if there's stats out there for that. Adele versus Iwo Jima. There's got to be some sort of Tumblr.
Adele versus Iwo Jima.
Buy the domain now.
Yeah, I don't care if this episode is sponsored by Squarespace or not. That domain's available.
Adele versus Iwo Jima.
Use our coupon code.
Get creative.
Mm-mm. So, Billy, I don't know if you know, but this is an advice podcast.
Yes.
Jake and I actually have the world's only advice podcast hosted by each other.
The first and only.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The first and only Jake and Amir advice show podcast.
There are no other Jake and Amir podcasts out there?
None.
No. Okay.
Especially not advice podcasts.
That's right.
Right.
Very specific.
Yeah.
Two guys named
Joy
Jake and Amir
from the football, from the NFL, have a podcast, but it's not advice.
Well, we started the fantasy football podcast, and I'll keep this brief. I didn't know what the goal was. The goal now is to unite Jake and Amir, you two, with Joyke and Amir, the running backs for the Detroit Lions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people on our... Wait, did we ever talk about it on our podcast?
No, we
people
haven't.
Know.
The two running backs for the Detroit Lions' names are Joyke Bell and Amir Abdullah.
Correct.
Their names are Joyke and Amir.
I don't know what the four of you would do when you're in the same room, but that's a picture we need to take.
Yeah.
That's just the world's colliding.
It's us versus them.
Yes.
And there's like a weird chance that we're... In a weird way, like have more like internet famous than like Joyke Bell and Amir Abdullah.
Definitely more Twitter followers, 100%.
Because they're professional athletes,
and despite them,
they're
being
more
so,
important. But than they're we not are, very. But we have more online presence.
Yeah,
for sure.
Correct.
But if the apocalypse hit, I'd rather be with Joyke and Amir than Jake and Amir.
Yeah,
for what that's worth.
But if it was if you were like having to choose the best two running backs in the NFL, they might not even be in the top 30.
No, definitely
and
not.
Neither would me and Jake.
Hey, don't trash talk because they might listen to this episode.
Well, they wouldn't be in the top 30 because they'd be in the top 2.
Yes, dude.
Jake.
I love that.
They would be the top.
No, that would mean that they're in
just
the top
30. Just don't
question
just
it.
Just don't. The logic totally works.
What if you were going to be stranded on a desert island? Would you rather be with Jake and Amir, us, or Joyke and Amir, the running backs?
I'd rather be with Jake and Joyke.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that. Joyke Bell and Jake Hurwitz.
JakeandJoyke.com.
Just a little remix of the combinations, if possible.
Yeah, we probably... that's a good combo, actually.
I think the three of us would have a good time.
Yeah, we would.
But you guys have a podcast, and it's about advice.
Yeah. So this is an advice show. We're getting real emails from real people to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. We're going to read a couple of them, try to advise them out of their sticky situations. But what we need from you, William... scaffolding is fake names to preserve their anonymity because we don't want to out them in the real world.
Happily.
Yeah. So
happily.
This is just a guy
mm-hmm.
dating a girl.
Okay.
Asking him to love her.
This is Pat Happily.
And he is happily Pat
@gmail.com.
Pat Happily, which is Pat Castles' nickname. Pat Happily writes, "Hey guys, I have an interesting problem. I started dating my smoke show of a girlfriend 4 months ago, and things have been perfect despite my being away at school. No fighting, we get along amazingly, and the sex is incredible. The problem started a week ago when I jokingly said something about masturbating before I came back to school, and she said that she wanted me to wait so that the sex would be better. Now, normally I try to rub one out a few hours before we would have had sex to try to increase durability, but I saved up anyways, and when I came home, she was right. The sex was awesome. The problem is, with the week-long buildup of semen, there was quite a lot when it came time for me to explode on her chest. Much to my surprise, she loved this, and now wants me to stop masturbating entirely to maximize the amount of cum for the next time. The problem is, I kind of masturbate a lot, like once every other day, and saving up for a week is incredibly difficult, let alone a month. Should I tough it out and make it more enjoyable for her? And if not, how do I tell her that I refuse and need to keep jerking it? On a real note, you guys are the best. Thank you so much for being that little beacon of light that helped turn the shittiest of days great. And you have helped me and so many other people out in so much more ways than you know.
I really needed to insert that last one. Wow. That was just for us.
He didn't even write that part. Toadot love, Pat happily.
Happily Pat.
So
there's a lot of things in there.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unpack.
There's a lot of cum.
Yeah. Jake, there's a lot of cum to unpack.
A lot of ejaculate.
Jake and I found this question about an hour before you got here, and then we got to doing a little bit of light research. Is your nutsack like a water balloon at a sink that will just grow infinitely the less you masturbate? So like, is there a max?
What a perfect visual.
Is there a maximum?
He was in his room with a sketchbook for an hour. I think he was diagramming that thought.
At a certain point, if you wait 3 days versus 6 days versus a month,
right.
This lady thinks it'll just grow and grow until your body
those
is
weird
just...
baboons with those like weird red butts that hang out.
Yeah, she thinks your entire body will overflow with cum if you never masturbate.
Like, don't you see that happening to dogs?
Mm-mm.
Like dogs with huge ass nuts that aren't... I don't know. Maybe it just happened in Van Wilder.
Yeah, maybe I'm just thinking about a dog with huge nuts. Or does semen like replenish after a day and then it plateaus after that?
Now, I'm no scientist, but I think...
You answer every question like that.
Just to keep all of my answers safe. But,
I asked you what the date was when you walked in.
And I'm no scientist, but I think it might be November 5th. But yeah. I'm no scientist.
That's wrong.
I think that's why wet dreams exist.
What
is the wet dream? Like, I have no explanation why the wet dream happens.
Wow. Right. So a wet dream is when your body is so overloaded with semen.
It's like,
it tricks you. When it's like, let's wait till he falls asleep.
Exactly. And exactly.
Like water coming out of a hole in a dam.
Yes.
It seeps out of your belly button or your dick.
Much what like do you that mean? Or your... Sorry. Oh. Do you know where it comes out of?
Or like, if you tourniquet your dick, it'll just leak out of your nose when you're asleep.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Man. It's called orifice replacement surgery.
I feel like it's a real issue that you don't know which hole you come out of.
Amir's very confused in the whole blowing your nose process. He thinks that it's an orgasm every single time.
Yeah, like when you sneeze, it's a little bit, 1/8 of an orgasm.
That's actually a pretty good theory is like when you don't masturbate,
your body masturbates itself.
Right.
We were talking about how amazing
it is. Masturbate. Yeah. A wet dream, I guess you like, I think I like hump my sheets when I'm having a wet dream.
I wonder.
That's another thing we talked about. Like, how amazing would it be to see a time lapse of a guy tied up to his bed? So arm, leg.
I want to set the start.
You said that's another thing we talked about. How amazing would it be?
Okay, this is my
guy.
I had nothing to do with this. This is your fantasy.
This is my fantasy.
Finish it out. So this guy's tied to a bed.
This is another
guy tied
thing
to a bed.
You talked
arm
about
to top right, other arm top left, leg bottom left, other leg bottom right. He's an X.
Standard tie-up.
Right.
We tell him not to masturbate for a month or 2 months.
This is you and Jake.
Yes. I have nothing to do with this. I am extracting myself.
Then he's naked. And then I want to see a time lapse of a wet dream where this guy is borderline possessed by a sexual demon.
He's also been tied up for weeks.
He'll get a boner and start ejaculating without touching anything. It's just his eyes rolling back into his head and his dick would get hard and start splooging everywhere. It would have to happen, right?
What do you want me to say to you right now?
You're freaking out.
What do you need us to say to you?
Spilling his coffee. You're standing up.
I want you to say, wow. I want you to
room. He'd be splooging everywhere.
I want you to say that that would be a very amazing thing to see. A sight to behold.
I'm no scientist, but I'd buy a ticket to the show. I'd come that one.
You're not conducting the experiment. I'm down to be the guy, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would do it.
So this is how it could work out. Amir will tie you to the bed. Mm-hmm. He will play the scientist, and I'll be the guy behind the window.
And you're not a scientist.
We've already established that I'm no scientist.
Okay. So in this slight bit of research that we did, the main, I'd say 98% of the answers were about sperm, because it's people looking to get pregnant. Can I masturbate and then impregnate my
wife?
I don't care about the science of it all.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is the sperm accounts for a very small amount of the semen.
Right.
Yeah. And they said the sperm starts to replenish. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Starts to replenish like 19 minutes after you come.
Right.
And it like after what it was like 2 or 3 days, you're back.
Right.
Your sperm count.
Back at 100, and you can't go higher than that.
For sperm count.
Yeah. Semen, it was a harder Yahoo answer to get.
Nobody knew what the fuck they were talking. I mean, Yahoo answers, nobody knows what they're talking about anyway, but
that's half the joy.
It seemed like nobody even cared about how much cum was coming out of their dick.
Well, this is just from a Yahoo answers thread, which I can't stress is science fact. How long does it take for your testicles to fill with sperm? That's the question. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple. The best answer was sperm takes several weeks to mature. And then another person said, it depends on the person. And then somebody else said, very little amount of the sperm liter-wise is ejaculated. And then one of the person, which was my favorite, 8 years ago commented, who the hell knows this shit?
Thank you.
Why did he say he signed up for an account to comment that?
Who the hell does know this shit? It's
the only real one. That's the only real one on the internet.
Yeah, we gotta have a real scientist on this show, like a biologist that can talk to us about semen.
This is a simple experiment that people.
Wait, Billy, are you a scientist?
No, I'm no scientist.
What else are you? Know
just scientist.
Oh, you are everything else.
I'm just no scientist. That's why I bring it up so much, because people expect me to have all of the answers. I'm right, just no scientist.
This is an experiment you can do at home.
Well, I think we established that we're going to do it.
Yeah, you are going to do it.
Oh, I'm not talking about the time lapse.
Oh,
wet dream thing. Okay. I'm talking about masturbating.
That's
into
a GoFundMe that you're going to.
Yeah, that's a different Indiegogo that I'm setting up.
Got it. That's a video podcast.
Yeah,
that's a video podcast.
I'm talking about masturbate. Once every 6 hours for a day.
Right.
Measure the volume.
Okay.
Masturbate once every 24 hours for a week.
Like,
and measure the volume. Okay. Then masturbate every 2 days. Is it twice as much as every day? Is it four times as much as every 6 hours?
I want to be like advising the kids who listen to our podcast to be like ejaculating into vials. And
well, it doesn't have to be a vial. It could be a measuring cup.
Mom comes home, cleans the bedroom. happily? Pat Happily? I saw this ejaculate on
your
desk.
Mom, why do you call me by my last name?
Well, you know what, Mom? I am a scientist, because this is me testing my hypothesis.
Each of these beakers. That's a tiny little bit of me, and it's a tiny little bit of you, Mom.
If you think about it, it's half your DNA.
So you're making this weird right now, Mom.
You're the pervert.
Where's your ejaculate, Mom?
Here's what I think this guy could do, because I see that his girlfriend wants there to be like a lot of splooge, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's really a world where his girlfriend is like looking at her chest and being like, oh.
It's a little splooge short this week.
You're a little shy.
Yeah. Like just like, I wouldn't say that you didn't masturbate
Did
in the
you
last.
Masturbate 3 days ago?
Right.
Like you can, and there's no need to refuse the proposition, because she's like, don't masturbate for an entire month and we'll see how good it is.
I mean, can you imagine that? That oil derrick explosion.
If you're,
That's
if you enjoyed
safe.
This,
Windows will explode.
If you can handle, a week, I think he's good. Just a week, and you don't have to refuse the girlfriend. Just, it's
abstain
a white lie.
From masturbating for a week.
It's a clear lie. That's well, what it is.
What about the bigger issue of this girl telling this guy not to masturbate? Isn't that a baddie?
Yeah, but I think that's more like we have lots of girls that write in and tell their boyfriends not to masturbate.
I think that's some subtext of a lot of relationships is like, let's not talk about it, but like I'd prefer if you were going to be sexual with me.
But not even by yourself.
I
don't think anybody
weird.
Is that comfortable with the other person masturbating.
Right.
Like, I've never had a girlfriend that was like, oh yeah, jerk off as much as you want. But like, I would never ever share my masturbating habits with my significant other and be like, am I masturbating too much? Should I
right.
only be masturbating the pictures of you? That's just so private.
Yeah, sometimes it helps to have those little secrets.
Yeah,
you know?
That's like when you're in a long-term relationship, masturbating is the last secret you have.
Right.
Like, that's the last moment of solitude.
You've had food poisoning and made much more disgusting visuals. And yeah.
It's your last little bit of corner of privacy.
Right. Which is why I think it's okay to lie about masturbating. Like, if it's something, it's true she shouldn't care if he masturbates. But it sounds like she cares about it being, like, a mutually good sexual experience for both of them.
Yeah.
She's like, if you don't, it's not like she's.
But why is it better for her?
But what if it's a power move? Because. What if it's a power move and she just wants to see what she can limit him to do?
Oh, so it's like, don't do this thing.
Not, yeah, just to see.
Sacrifice.
If she can actually,
that's
see,
what she gets off on.
Yeah, exactly. She masturbates to the thought of him not masturbating.
She's a cuckold.
Yeah.
She's just at home, like, flicking her bean at the thought of him reading a Mad magazine on a couch.
Sucker.
Doing the fold in fucking gets her off.
Well, Mad magazines can still be pretty sexy.
Yeah,
I honestly used to jerk off to Mad magazines.
Yeah, the little space in between Alfred E. Newman's front teeth. Jesus. Just like imagine like titty fucking that.
If you fold that back page just right, you can see a nipple.
The Mad fold in is actually a dick.
Yeah, I think it's okay because she's not saying don't masturbate because you should only. I should be the only thing that makes you come. She's saying like don't masturbate so we can have like. Really intense sex.
Yeah.
I think what she doesn't necessarily know is if he waited a month, the intense sex would last two and a half seconds.
Intense 2 seconds.
Yeah. Right. So, like, I think this guy knows his body well enough to be like tempering it. Like, okay, we can make the sex very intense, but I can also maybe have. But I can have a little bit of a reserve. I don't need to have like a full overflowing reservoir.
I don't need 30 days.
Yeah.
Can he just like. Masturbate every day and then take 2 days off.
Probably.
Right. I'm curious what the difference between 30 and like call it 4 days off.
Right.
I want to see
the line graph, the curve. Yeah. Where does it plateau?
Mm-hmm. Also,
where
to me, sex and masturbating, they're so different than even if I was like masturbating every day for a month and then I got to have sex, I would still feel like it was very intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
especially if you haven't had sex in a month.
Yeah. A month, like masturbating and sex are totally different to me. I could have sex and then go home and masturbate.
What did you once say? The masturbating is what to a meal? Like sex is a meal and masturbating is shitting.
Oh, yeah.
That's how different they are.
Gross.
That's not what I said, though. I don't know what I said.
If sex is a really good meal, what is masturbating? And then you said it's taking a crap.
Was it? Did it?
Because it feels good. And it's something to do with food.
Oh.
But it's not even like, it's not snacking by yourself.
It's like the fish filet at McDonald's, where it's like, yeah, you ate it and it was fine. And I guess it filled you up for a second. But like 10 minutes later, you're like, why did I do that?
Oh, masturbating is way better than a fish filet.
Yeah, I've never gotten the fish filet. That was the wrong example.
That is the weird. You really know a lot about someone if they've had the fish filet.
That's true.
Because it's not just getting a filet of fish, it's preferring it to every other thing.
Oh, I always get the filet of fish.
Yeah. That's what you want. You go to McDonald's and you want
any
label. Seafood.
That trumps any label about that person. Any interesting quality about them suddenly goes out the window.
I don't want a fried chicken sandwich. I don't want a quarter pounder.
If you like the filet of fish, I don't know if I've ever... I feel like if you like the filet of fish, you have to order it by yourself.
How did you get
you
there?
You can't like
How
go
did you
to...
get to become that person?
If all of us went to McDonald's and you're like, I'll get a Big Mac, like I'll get chicken nuggets, like, oh, I'll just get the filet of fish. Everyone would be like, hey, why'd you come with us to McDonald's?
Yeah, get out of here, Greg.
You wanted seafood? You wanted a cod?
Filet of fish is something you get alone. In the drive-thru.
What's in the batter? What's in your Filet-O-Fish batter?
What's on the sandwich? Isn't it like a tartar sauce and a pickle?
Yeah, I think that's like why people like it. Hey, you know what, dudes? After this, let's all go get Filet-O-Fish.
No, I think I'd be violently sick if I had fish.
Okay. We're going to tweet a picture, everybody.
Have
you ever seen somebody order a Filet-O-Fish?
I haven't been to McDonald's in a long time, except when we went, kind of, during the Smile Time visit, and I ate your fries.
That's right.
But if you guys all want to get Filet-O-Fishes after this, I'm down. I'm on record right now as saying that Billy's thrown his hat in the ring. He would eat a Filet-O-Fish if you guys eat a Filet-O-Fish.
Have you ever had a Filet-O-Fish?
Never in my life.
Had a Filet-O-Fish?
No.
Have you ever had a McRib?
No.
Have you ever had a McRib?
I had one bite of a McRib. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever eaten in my whole life.
That's funny, because I love the McRib.
It's so fucking
funny. Is McRib season?
No.
Isn't that a seasonal treat?
It is a gourd. It is a squash.
Let's go to McDonald's. We'll get a Filet-O-Fish. This episode's already going to be called Filet-O-Fish.
Seriously.
We'll get one. We don't all have to eat. We'll each take a bite of a Filet-O-Fish.
Okay.
Will you take a bite?
I'll take a bite out of... Oh, can you imagine
it
eating...
It seems like such a fun, good
McDonald's.
Idea to me now.
So this,
we are going to be in a drive-thru at McDonald's eating a Filet-O-Fish in a bit.
Two things. One, yes. I'm in.
Okay, great.
Two, I listened to your Halloween episode a few weeks ago. Yeah. And didn't you guys have a pre-Halloween and post-Halloween binge to it?
We should do that with a whole
I'm just saying, now you're doing it with fish.
Whoa.
Now you're doing it with battered McDonald's
that
fish.
Is not a bad idea.
This is a new thing for the podcast.
You know who I know loves the Filet-O-Fish, and I don't mind throwing this person under the bus, but do you know who?
No.
Streeter.
Streeter?
Yeah. Because he loves seafood.
No.
Yeah.
And Streeter loves food in general.
He thinks Filet-O-Fish is seafood. He would call it seafood.
I call it seafood.
It's a chicken sandwich.
It's interesting, though, because Streeter likes... I feel like Streeter likes burgers more than seafood.
Right. And yet here we are. Oh, I bet he... Yeah. All right. Filet-O-Fish. So what are we telling this person?
I think he can get away with...
Get the Filet-O-Fish.
Get the Filet-O-Fish. I think he can get off with... get off literally, you know what I'm saying? He can masturbate... You know, a week before he goes home. And because he's already said this time the sex was awesome. Like, it'll do this from now on.
White lies are perfectly fine sometimes.
Yeah.
And especially when they're semen white. Just a liquid white lie.
Have you guys ever used the word smoke show before?
We have on the show. Yeah.
Oh, that's phrased by you guys.
Yeah, smoke show.
Sorry to not be familiar with your catalog.
We actually took that.
You should have. We told you to listen to every episode before you got here.
I know. What is this, 183?
Yeah.
115 plus Halloween.
Should we answer another masturbation question, or should we deviate from that and then come back to it later?
My call?
Yeah.
Your call.
Let's leave the masturbation arena and see what else is out there.
Okay. And then we'll come back.
So this one is about... Visit,
see where masturbation...
Promise?
This one's just about female masturbation then. No. This one has nothing to do with masturbating.
Great.
Give this guy... Oh, no. You know what? This guy gave himself a great name, and I'll say it at the end.
Beautiful.
It's a dude. This just happened to me literally an hour ago. I was working at my job in retail, and a trio of girls walked by. For the moment being, I paid them no mind. A few minutes went by, and they came up to me and asked me where something was. I told them and then went back to my work. A few more minutes go by, and they do the same thing, and I do the same. The third time's the charm, as one of them came up and asked for my number. Dumbfounded, having never had this happen to me before, I panicked and gave her my number instead of a fake or just downright refusing her. Now here's my dilemma. This girl isn't particularly attractive, and to be honest, neither am I. So I'm asking you dapper gentlemen whether or not I should bone this crone. I'm not sure this will ever happen to me again. I'm a virgin, and I'm 17 years old if that changes anything. Sincerely, Borf.
That's got to be his real name.
Borf.
Sincerely, Borf.
That may be the name of the episode.
Shit. Should we all go to McDonald's and order a Borf?
From the secret menu?
A Filet-O-Borf. Isn't the Filet-O-Fish on a patty, on a bun that doesn't exist on any other sandwich?
Oh, a
unique patty. I imagine it on a square bun.
All of our questions will be answered in time.
What bun doesn't have any sesame seeds on it except for the Filet-O-Fish bun?
I choose to believe it's the lowest ranking bun, and they were like, put it with the lowest ranking sandwich meat. Filet-O-Fish.
I'm so excited to have a Filet-O-Fish.
Oh, I just pulled up a photo. There's a slice of American cheese on it.
What? On the fish?
It's... Who doesn't melt cheese on a fish?
That's the Filet-O-Fish?
McDonald's is hoping you only taste the cheese.
Oh, my goodness.
And look at this bun. The plainest bun you can possibly have.
Oh, that is so
it's almost Naya pure white. Seed.
And this is that's the stock photo. That effort went into making that look good. That's not the Filet-O-Fish we're going to get.
Yeah,
this
color is correct.
In Glendale.
It is all tan. It's all tan everything.
It's the same color from bun to meat and back.
It's funny that we just read another question, but are not even attempting. We just knew it was time to answer another question, but we did not want to stop talking about Filet-O-Fish.
If you're unattractive, do you become attracted to unattractive people?
Mm. Unattractive, so relative.
That's true.
You shouldn't label yourself that, and you shouldn't label someone else that. Because
it's very nice of you.
5 minutes of talking to someone, of real authentic conversation, they look completely different.
Wow, that's a really good theory.
Yeah.
It's completely untrue, but that's really interesting.
Yeah, what if they're a real dog?
Yeah, if they're actually ugly.
Yeah, Billy.
Real meaningful conversation, you're talking to a real meaningfully ugly person.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's true.
Because they have to be good conversationalists because they're so downright ugly.
And if you close your eyes, everyone's beautiful.
evolutionarily speaking, right? Don't you have to lower your standards to find a mate so you can procreate? Isn't there something hardwired into our monkey brains that would be
Yeah.
oh, I can't get with this like leader of the pack. So I'm like, I set my sights lower.
Right.
And lower and lower.
And lower still. But I think there's always like, you're always trying to get out of your league, but maybe there's just sort of like your base gets lower.
Would you rather date someone who's so much more attractive than you that it's like a weird thing that everyone's like, 100%. Look, why is that guy with her?
Yes. Because that's going to end, but the time that it's alive is going to be great.
Beautiful. Great. A shooting star. And what's the other option? A
not?
Meaningful soulmate connection with somebody.
Yeah, unique. Someone that you
fuck
see
off
like
with that. Like somebody who gets you. No,
down the road.
Off.
That's down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll retire then.
And this 11, does she have a perfect ass?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my goodness. And I can see her naked whenever I want?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. What is there? There's another option?
I guess it's, yeah.
Kill myself, I hope.
So should this guy just go for it? Or what?
Yes, of course. He's just judging her on physical appearance right now. But if he already sees himself as unattractive, then this person may very well make him feel attractive by being kind to him and showing him love.
Oh.
Roll the dice, dude.
First of all, what's a crone? He said, bone this crone. I just don't know what a crone is.
Should
I?
Probably an ugly person.
Is it just a rhyme that he made up, though, or is crone like a real...
What is crone possibly short for?
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Maybe Let's she see. Has Crohn's
Before
disease.
Before I weigh in too much.
Crone, an old woman who is... An old woman who is thin and ugly.
Rude.
She has to be old, thin, and ugly. There's a word for three adjectives.
He really knew his vocabulary to describe this woman.
You're a crone. Like, no, I'm only old and ugly. I'm very fat.
I'm thick.
It's like a character in folklore, you know, like the old spindly lady.
Yes, right. Sure, Stregonona.
That like curses somebody.
Yeah. Right. She'll often curse you thin and old.
So, well, one, I don't think that he can necessarily have sex with this girl right away.
Right, that's a bit presumptuous.
She gave him her number, and for him to say, should I fuck this ugly girl?
What she was saying was, meet me at Auntie Anne's. Let's get a pretzel.
Oh, that sounds so much better than the Filet-O-Fish we're going
to
have.
Can we let, she's saying like, hey, do you want to get to know me? Do you want to date me? And it sounds like he's a virgin. He doesn't have any experience with this dating. So you might as well like see what's up.
Right.
Then I guess on the flip side is like, if you are a virgin and you want to have sex with someone, maybe he just should not text her and try to find somebody that he wants to fuck.
Right. And it's also about experience. It sounds like this is the first time he's ever received a phone number. It's like, why not ride that wave for a second as opposed to shutting the door and then just saying, no, that wasn't good enough for me.
Yeah.
It's like, keep the door open, see what it is, and you'll have that much more experience.
Flirt and text and date and do all that stuff because right now, at the very least, the stakes are low. Exactly. You don't want to like get that number that you really don't want to fuck up and then you're like, uh-oh, I don't know how to text or what to do.
Totally. And you want to have comparative analysis for any single relationship. So it's like, if you have a bunch behind you, you've learned something inevitably, why you broke up, why you weren't happy in it, whatever it is if you just say no at the gate every time, you're not going to get anything out of it.
Do you have an example of saying yes or no to something that you can share with us in any way? Have you ever said begrudgingly yes because you're like, oh, maybe I'll like it?
Almost any single job I take in the comedy realm starts off as a yes, I'll do that. And then the second I get on set and have to dress up like a wacky mad scientist or like a gift
box.
So
you are a scientist.
just in acting. I'm not a scientist. No, I guess that in like relationships, I find this is the thing that they teach you in comedy and improv and at UCB is to always say yes. The second you say no, you just shut off so much more opportunity and it just makes a much more, you lose all of the periphery in your life. You know, you start just living a very like narrow-minded life.
Right.
And I've kind of been raised with the say yes at first and the second it starts feeling wrong, then allow yourself to say no.
Oh.
But if you say no out the gate, then you have no idea. There could have been so many interesting things behind that door, you know? So no, I don't That's have a specific really nice. Example, but I would encourage everyone to be brave and say yes at first.
I like that lifestyle. Be brave, say yes. That's kind of nice. I am brave.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the second it's bad.
I'm a coward.
Yep. Nope.
That's what he should say to her face. She's like, do you want to go out sometime? And he should take a deep breath and go, I am brave. Yes.
I only date crones.
Well, good luck, Borf.
Yeah. All right.
Speak to you.
Let's take a quick break, thank a few other sponsors, and then we'll be right back with Billy.
Great.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design mm-hmm. a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace.
Yes.
That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness.
It's it's an anti-movement, really.
Oh,
it's a
non-movement
movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems
I'll
like
have
it should
to
be.
Check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't. But
so it's more
fitness,
of a fitnessnah.com.
Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough mm-hmm. is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10%
Ooh.
Off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. And we're back.
All right.
Billy, what is it like being the commissioner and host of a fantasy football podcast?
It is. At first, I didn't know what I was getting myself into because mm-hmm. fantasy football is kind of fun on its own. You might not need to talk about it every single week on a podcast.
Sure.
But I will say that it has been a really fun and rewarding way to keep in touch with people you otherwise wouldn't.
True.
It has been a really fun challenge for me to become a better host and to see what it takes to run an interesting podcast.
Yeah.
I think the worst podcasts are ones that aren't bad, but boring.
Wow.
Where after a few minutes, you're like, I'm just want to turn this off.
Right.
And
right.
so you realize you've been zoning out.
Exactly. Where it's just a wash of sound after a while. So it's been a really fun and interesting test for me to try and find ways of keeping it energetic and successful, and it's been really rewarding. I really appreciate it. Thanks for letting me do it.
Of course. I got back into fantasy this year to be on the podcast, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to take it easy. I'm not going to get as into it, but then I got entirely 100% into it.
Addiction is real.
I'm in the league. Pat Castles is in the league.
That's right.
A bunch of other of our friends, George Basil,
yep.
you.
Me.
Who's in first place?
Billy is.
I am.
Really?
Yeah.
Commit.
Oh, wait. Who has the most points? I do.
I'm yours in fourth.
I didn't say that.
And he's in fourth.
But that is the fantasy life that I lead.
Yeah. But I would encourage people to check it out. It's not, if you're not into fantasy football, at times it may be a little over your head, but ultimately the people in the league are very captivating and interesting people, and they all make for a good listen.
Yeah.
So you'll find interesting things outside of football. But if you are a football fan, we do speak your language.
Yes, it's total. It's a great, like, these are friends, funny people talking about football and fantasy specifically.
Right. Because so, we don't pretend to be experts
no.
at fantasy football. We are people who are enjoying it and talking about it with a little bit of insight.
There are no experts. There are just people who play it a lot.
That's right.
And read RotoWorld.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're totally right. I agree.
And you're in the top 1% already.
That's it.
Yeah.
So call me Kamish.
So if you know who Sharkhandrick West is, I think you'd like the podcast.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's on the HeadGum Network, HeadGum.com.
Yep.
And on Twitter, HeadGumFFL, right?
Correct.
Very awesome. Nice.
Check it out. Have you ever been to Philadelphia?
Yes.
We're going to Philadelphia
when?
This week. When this podcast comes out on Monday, we'll be there on Wednesday.
Nice. Yeah. Have you guys been to Philadelphia?
Yeah.
I believe our first live show ever was in Philly.
That's true. At
LaSalle
That's
University.
Right.
Nice.
We were so nervous.
Our first ever like travel
college show.
Because I think we did one at that like cupcake thing
and some place in New York.
Yeah, I forget where it was.
Some place in the Lower East Side.
Yeah.
How big was that show at LaSalle? Do you remember, like, just generally, is it as big as your shows are now?
Oh, it was huge.
Was it like a lot of
people? I think 400 people came.
It was like a college humor live show. I think John Mulaney was on it.
It was an amazing. It was John Mulaney, Dan Levy, and Christian Finnegan, or something.
And us.
Sure.
And us.
And two 24-year-olds that didn't know what they were doing.
But I bet the crowd wanted to see you guys the most.
That's a good question.
Did you guys go last?
We did not headline.
Mulaney.
Yeah. Mulaney headlined. And man, his shit's so funny.
I know, it's
but
incredible.
But that was the first that we there were like people after the show that wanted our picture, and that was like fucking crazy to us. That
yeah.
was,
yeah.
It was great. It was
Harvard Sound Team just did a show at University of South Carolina a couple weeks ago, or maybe a month ago or something. And when we were taking pictures of the kids afterwards, I saw a poster of both of you guys on the wall from when you guys had performed there.
Oh, shit.
And I sent it to Amir, and he goes, I didn't know we performed at University of South Carolina.
Did you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
go Gamecocks.
That was, we went to the beach. It's near the beach, right?
Let's say, yeah. We were there for a day.
I got a Mustang. Remember that?
That was that? It wasn't UNC Wilmington when you got a Mustang?
Oh, shit. Was it UNC Wilmington? Never mind.
I played against the University of South Carolina in rugby about 8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. No, definitely more than that, like probably 12 years ago. And two things. One, they still had the Confederate flag over the state capitol.
Ooh.
Super weird to see.
Yeah.
It wasn't weird to anyone else except me. We've moved past that. And secondly, on the field, I got into a bit of a pushing match with this dude from University of South Carolina, and he called me a Yankee.
Wow.
And he just said Yankee, like that was like going to hurt my feelings.
And you were really proud of that fact.
Who cares, Yankee?
Well, that's the best thing you could be.
From a Northerner. Yeah, right. Yeah. We won the war. You follow our lead. Yeah. So that's my University of South Carolina. You asked me about Philly, and I told you about University of South Carolina.
You played rugby? What's for college?
Yeah. I played rugby for 3 years, and then I transferred to be a music major, and they made me stop doing rugby because I would break my fingers.
What school?
This was at Hofstra.
You were a college rugby player.
Yeah. So I played a couple of years at this small school, Towson, in Maryland.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
I went to Hofstra when I started interning at SNL, so I had to move back to New York. And so then I went to Hofstra.
It's funny because you are the strongest person I know right now.
Right.
And you're saying you were even bigger in college.
Yeah. I weighed like 25 more pounds.
And it was just muscle.
How much do you weigh now?
182. I was about 205.
Jesus Christ.
But it was like goon.
I can't imagine
like
more muscly.
Have you ever seen that picture of that like muscly dog on the internet? It's like a pit bull or something. It has like big muscles in weird places. It was like that kind of guy.
Where do you think you lost that 25 pounds?
My shoulders. My shoulders literally touched my ears.
You were always shrugging.
My mom has lots of pictures of that because she was fascinated. She's
so
like,
bad.
What is happening with my son right now?
How did you do that? How did you gain 25? Because what were you like in high school? Were you closer to now or closer
no,
to...
No, yeah, like probably 170. But we had 7 meal days. So they would give us 7 meals a day. We would have like practice once or twice a day. And they would just try and pound us. And all of our meals were like... They'd be like always 40 grams of protein in every single meal. It'd be like cottage cheese, 2 eggs, a banana, and like... some sort of sugary thing. And you'd have that like a 10, 1, 4, 7, 10, and 1 again.
So by the end of the day, we're just like fucking ready to throw up?
No, because we were playing rugby for 2 hours and then working out for another 2 hours. So it was just like, oh, by the end of it, I was just like a kind of like a maniac.
You were, you know, like, you were a machine.
Like, yeah. Food is just gasoline for your body.
It was all fuel. And then we'd play the Naval Academy. One time we played the Nation of Samoa in rugby. So it's like you needed, you literally needed every pound.
Were you the biggest guy on your team?
No, I was. So I was the wing, which is like the fast guy on the team. So there was dudes on my team who were 260 pounds, Jesus. 280 pounds. And then there's dudes, of course, on the other team who are that much weight.
How tall are you? 6 foot
yeah.
four?
No, 6 feet.
Really?
Flat.
I don't know why you just... I think because
you're the
so
second
muscly.
Person who asked me if I'm 6 feet four. That's so great. My friend's girlfriend just asked me that.
So Jake is taller than you, but because you're so fit, you just appear to be the perfect height, 6 foot four.
I'll take it.
So I should... Oh, dude, I want to fucking get jacked like that.
What is it? What did you say you ate?
An egg? I'll eat an egg right now.
Scooping cottage cheese into my mouth.
Not working out at all.
Doing a push-up.
Dude, Billy, I'm 208. I think
it's all
buff
in my
now.
Ass, dude.
What's rugby?
Wide leg jeans, everything changes. Time. He's just eating Filet-O-Fish nonstop.
He's wearing a rugby shirt.
Am I jacked, Amir? Oh, am I jacked? My heart hurts.
God,
that
was
awesome. A good time in my life, though. That was really fun.
Did you ever get injured?
Yes. One time I thought I broke my arm, but I had just kind of displaced my elbow for a second, but it popped back in. That was gnarly. But the rugby team got into a fight with the football team once.
Whoa.
Which is totally like, if you've ever seen that video online where it's like the Battle of Kruger, where it's just like the crocodiles fight the buffalo, and then out of nowhere, like the mountain lions show up, and it's just literally two massive groups of men faced off against one another because...
Where? Just like in a field somewhere?
On the street. It was the day after Halloween. On Halloween night.
That's almost like... this must be the anniversary.
This was... Oh, yeah. We're right around that time. Yeah. This was one of the scariest days of my life. I've had a couple of really scary days. This was one where I was like, people might die here right now. It was pretty wild. But someone threw a glass bottle across the street, just missed us. Huh? And my friend at the time, who was playing rugby and very aggressive, just charged that group and just started a fight, like a huge physical fight. And so I ran in to just try and start pulling guys off, and that's always the guy who gets blindsided. So
oh, no.
They broke my nose and gave me a concussion in one punch. So the next day, I'm living at the rugby house, and I'm just like comatose when all of a sudden we get a rap on our door, and I can't go downstairs because I can barely like move my eyes left to right, and someone opens it up, and then you just see him walk back up the stairs, and he just looks in our bedroom and says, "It's the football team." And it was on, dude. It was really seriously scary, and there was like weird racial things involved. So that's when you want to be 205 pounds in situations.
Did you have to get out of bed to go down to the
I couldn't team? This was my second concussion in a very short amount of time. I literally couldn't move my eyes left to right without vomiting. So the best I could do was look out my bedroom window at just like the growing number of pickup trucks that were parked illegally on our street that like did not care about traffic law right now. It was so wild.
So what ended up happening?
The two captains, poetically, met in the middle. They literally walked outside of their groups and met in the middle. They talked through every single thing. The football team had claimed that there was like racial epithets involved and all this kind of stuff. And I was kind of the pet on the team because it was obvious that I was going to be the comedian. Like of all these really aggressive dudes, they kind of protected Billy. And when Billy got hit, they were just ready to, they wanted to fight anything in sight. And so long story short, it was
you
very
can
peaceful.
Keep the story as long as you want.
So it was very peaceful. And that day ended. Like 2 weeks later, though, I was walking through campus. It was about a couple days after the fight that I could kind of get my eyes back together and walk through campus again. I saw the other dude who had did it to me. He was on the football team. He was wearing football gear. And he had a black eye and he was missing teeth. And I hadn't been to practice, rugby practice, for like a week. I go back to rugby practice the following week because I actually went home to New York. And when I came back, turns out that they had jumped the kid at a bar and just teed off all over him. For me. Yeah, it was
pretty
wild.
And they didn't even tell you?
No one even, because I went home to New York. And so as soon as I went to campus and I saw him, I was like, oh, this is weird. And we didn't like look at each other or anything.
So did you feel bad for that kid or were you like, that's what you get?
No, yeah, I was playing rugby at the time. It was very fight oriented. Everything was like fight forward. Wow. And so it was just like, yes, like my brothers have my back. This is awesome.
We had the opposite college experience.
Yeah.
So when I was 19, I weighed 104 pounds. I made slideshows with my friends and nobody had very much more than slapped me ever, even as a joke.
Well, then I transferred to the music department and suddenly I couldn't play rugby anymore because I would break my little fingers. That's what they said.
What music did you play?
I was a piano major. I was a creative writing and piano double major.
And then you were just also getting into rugby.
So will you play the piano?
I could play it much better then. I can fake it now.
Wow.
Jesus, that's so funny. You're so muscly.
Exactly. I know.
This is Jake on a date. You're so jacked, dude. That's
awesome.
Can
I tie you to a bed and see if you come in a month? Man. It's my friend Amir's idea, I swear.
I would feel bad if we didn't at least mention that we're also going to Muhlenberg College.
Oh,
so true. This week we're doing three shows, William.
Let's hear it.
Tuesday at Muhlenberg College.
That's, where is that?
That's
is that
tomorrow.
Also in Philadelphia?
When this episode comes out, that is tomorrow.
Right.
At Muhlenberg College.
And
very
that's,
exciting.
So this episode comes
that's
out.
That's a hometown show for me, by the way.
Hell yeah.
Really? I didn't know you're from Allentown.
Well, it's a homecoming show in a way because I went to college there.
Nice.
Well, you dropped out of college after 8 months.
We'll so talk about say. This during the show.
So Monday.
And I didn't drop out. I failed out. So
Monday
I
the 9th.
The accusation. They Monday dropped the, me. I wasn't allowed to come back.
Right. Oh, wait. This show at Muhlenberg is Tuesday the 10th. Next day, we're at Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia. That show might be sold out. Might be not by the time this reaches
the And if
the
you're
airwaves.
Under 18, there's a loophole where you can get in if a 25-year-old brings you in.
Right.
And
you can drink, then, yeah. right? If a 25-year-old brings you in, then 18-year-olds can
wasted.
Drink.
And if you're 21 and over, you're good to go. That show's Wednesday, 11-11. And then Thursday, our show in Brooklyn is sold out, but it's going to be a fun one.
And they might release more tickets, I heard.
Oh,
nice.
Well, so keep your eye on that. I don't know if it's true.
Where in Brooklyn?
Williamsburg. That's the other homecoming
what theater?
Show for me.
It's called The Hall at MP.
Is that the Music Hall of Williamsburg?
It's not the Music Hall of Williamsburg. It's on Driggs instead of North 6th.
Okay.
Somewhere. I don't know where.
That's going to be great, you guys.
Yeah.
Go back to Brooklyn. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, the air is the best in Brooklyn. The people are the most beautiful in Brooklyn.
Know,
Brooklyn
dude.
Is great.
I fucking love Brooklyn.
That's where our
Holy
podcast
shit.
Started.
Brooklyn.
Really?
Yeah.
It's true.
183 episodes ago, you guys did the same exact thing in Brooklyn.
And now we're back.
That's amazing.
So hopefully we'll get to see people there.
Awesome.
As for this episode, do you have time to answer one last question?
Perfect.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We need a guy's name.
Patrick Mayonnaise.
Wow.
Patrick Happily and Patrick Mayonnaise.
The Patrick brothers.
Patty Mayonnaise brother.
My sister is 31 and engaged to her boyfriend of almost 2 years. I know she loves him, and I think he's a cool guy, too. They are both very religious, and I'm certain that they haven't had any sort of sexual interaction. They're saving themselves for marriage.
Here's a lot of cum stored up in that guy.
Here's the wrinkle. Yeah, can you imagine not masturbating for 31 years?
That's another big water balloon.
He's going to get a paper cut and just fucking, like, a spigot shoot
semen out. You think the cum is just, like, floating around your body. It can come out your belly button, your eyelid.
A slit in your finger. Here's the wrinkle.
Your
the other day
only exists to keep the cum in.
It's a water balloon of cum.
Sorry, go ahead.
Here's the wrinkle. The other day I played tennis with my brother-in-law to be. After the game in the clubhouse changing room, I saw his penis. The penis as yet unseen by my sister. Very bad news. A prox 1-inch limp. I can't imagine it being more than 3 inches hard. Size may not matter, but this is extreme. I want my sister to have a fulfilling marriage. I want to tell her so that she can drop this baby man. Should I? Love, Patrick Mayonnaise.
Yo, I think... Ooh. Okay, do you guys want to go first? I'm feeling a little hostile.
Yeah.
Billy just punched Jake.
Fight forward. One quick fight point forward. That I want to make is that I think no matter what you told your sister about the size of her husband-to-be's penis... She's not going to break up with him.
Yeah, imagine.
So, like, you're not going to stop the marriage.
Correct.
So, you might as well not bring it up.
That's but a very good place to start.
There's other reasons not to say anything, and I'll let Amir or you take over. If you're feeling. Are you cooled down?
Yeah, I'm cooled down. I think that took the edge off of what I was going to say.
Which is what?
Every relationship will transcend sex at some point. Any meaningful, long lasting relationship will transcend sex over time. So it seems like a lot of these questions are always about like the jumpstart, the immediate, the sexual. Like he has a small penis. This might not work.
Yeah.
You know, or like she gave me her number in the mall. This why would this work?
Right.
It's like I think that like
I need to store all my cum.
Right. Like this might not work. I think that you have to think about relationships from a real macro, take a step back point of view.
Which is
when it's love, not lust. It's clearly this relationship has been love, not lust for the first 2 years that they haven't had sex yet.
True.
So if you see something that you shouldn't have seen, if you had a small penis, a huge penis, you have to assume that there's much more to this relationship than that.
That they've got it all figured out. There's a huge chance that he already confided in his wife-to-be that his dick's really small.
Right.
But I would also mention that many people are growers, not showers, and
an inch long penis very well could stretch to a 6-inch long penis.
Okay, then.
Like, he might be fine.
So, yeah, who
knows? You don't know enough because you saw, like,
what if he was playing tennis?
He saw his girlfriend's, his sister's boyfriend's flaccid dick, and he feels like he's got this duty.
All the information. He has to suddenly bring this to her.
Yeah, it's not true, necessarily.
Yeah.
I don't know about 1 and 6, but perhaps this was a 2-incher, and that can grow to 5.
You gotta think about it, too. Like, when you, sometimes after you exercise, your dick shrivels up a little bit, and your nuts get really
especially
hard.
If it's cold out.
Yeah.
They're playing outdoor tennis.
And then surrounded by, like, if he's got a lot of pubic hair, it might look small inside there. Uh-huh. You know, like, he didn't inspect the dick as much as he might like to think.
That's a good point. And I wonder, he could have had 9 inches of pubic hair and maybe a 9-inch, 10-inch penis.
Yeah.
You know?
Who knows?
It's like, the question is, how long was the pubic hair? That's what I would ask Patrick Maynes.
There are times that I would not
8 inches.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So it's a 9-inch penis. My advice would be to shave the pubic hair, and he's got an anaconda in his pants.
Remove the thicket. He's just seeing the part of the snake that's coming
unleashed
out of the bush.
That's what I was saying. That's just the one that's peeking out.
Yeah.
There's a whole body to that animal.
It's an iceberg. You can't be like, that's a 1-inch iceberg. No, it's a 20-inch iceberg.
The majority of the iceberg is below water.
Yeah. Like, I start measuring my dick from inside my body because that's where it technically starts.
Right. Oh, smart.
Yeah. Through my asshole.
Yeah.
And then out the other side, 7 inches.
I'm no scientist, but that sounds like a logical way of doing it.
Either way, I think we're all in agreement that this guy is under no obligation to tell his sister.
No obligation. I'm not sure, whatsoever.
Yeah. At the very, like, you can, there's a million reasons not to say anything, but I think the real kernel of the it does no good.
It won't affect the outcome.
His intentions are honorable. He wants to, like,
correct.
He wants his sister to have a lot of orgasms.
Have it all.
And I love that about him. I truly do. But this does no good for anybody. To say your husband-to-be has a small dick,
you're so
it
right,
makes
about
everyone
that.
Feel bad.
I think
everything's
that's the
bad.
Best advice that I've heard on this topic so far. It does no one any good.
What about when I said that he might have a big dick?
That was fine, too. But just think about the three parties in question right now. Tell me who comes out on top.
Yeah, that's if this a information, triple lose.
The dude, the guy who's getting married, clearly gets hit.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, my God. By, like, from two angles. Because it's like, oh, my brother-in-law thinks I have a tiny dick and I can't please my wife. My wife thinks I have a small dick and I can't please. Like,
totally.
Yeah.
Then there's
and
the
a,
sister.
I have a small dick. So that's
then there's
bad.
The sister who has this now burden of having to just, like, walk through why my husband having a small dick will be okay for me to her brother. So yeah. she's not coming out on top.
Right, like, seeing her brother at, like, in the wedding party, just, like, standing next to her husband, shaking his head.
If, like, anybody has any objections, I had one.
Like, this presumes...
And he has 1 inch.
Take off
the tuxedo.
If they were to break up, if this couple were to break up because of what this kid said, this then presumes that every next guy she goes out with will have to show him his dick to see if it's okay for his sister.
At the very least.
Yeah.
You pass the dick test?
Yeah, that's complicated. I'd say hold on to that piece of 1-inch information.
tiny little bit.
There you have it. Hold on to the information.
Hold on to that.
Awesome. Thank you. And thanks, Billy, for coming on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Do you have anything you want to plug? People will be listening to this.
Aside from the Melissa Etheridge concert that you're going to?
Yeah, I don't think it's sold out. So if you can get down to Morongo by this Saturday, which is exactly -2 days from the day that this podcast comes out.
Go back in time.
You can go on YouTube and see some old videos by Harvard Sailing Team. Please go to the HeadGum Fantasy Football League, which is a part of this network. That would be great because we would really like for you to contribute.
There might be a new episode either Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, right around this time when this comes out, there should be a look for a new HeadGum Fantasy Football League. And yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Billy Scafuri. Good luck spelling my last name.
It's not going to happen, dude. Try as you might.
Will you post on your Twitter, one, a picture of the Filet-O-Fish that we're about to go get?
I will.
And two, a picture of you at your beefiest when you were in college?
Yes. I'll need my mom to mail me that picture.
All right, great.
Yes.
She can't take a photo of the photo. You have to have her mail it.
It's not like that.
I don't know. Her phone still has Snake.
Her phone still has Snake.
You know what I mean?
Not even Snake 2.
No. The snake can only grow to about 3/4 of an inch. It's really tough.
Should you tell your dad about that?
His phone also has Snake.
All right, then.
He's still rocking the rotary.
Very well.
Right.
Awesome. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you yourself have your own theme song or your own question or your own Facebook thumbnail submission, that email for everything is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening theme song, once again, was written by Matt Bogdanow. And this closing theme song was written by Amelia. Amelia with a Say a Little Prayer parody. Hopefully we'll see you in either Muhlenberg, Philadelphia, or New York. And if not, we'll see you next week on the internet. Later, everybody.
Peace.
See ya.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.